Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. This morning's sermon text is taken from the book of Luke. Luke chapter 7, verse 50. It reads, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." These are the words of our Savior. As way of introduction, I want to continue focusing on the different women in the Bible. And the Gospel of Luke seems to record the most interactions that Jesus has with women. These interactions take place with women that are named or unnamed, but we see Jesus value women and treat them with respect. He is very compassionate towards them, and he welcomes them as disciples, as followers. Furthermore, even some of the parables that Jesus spoke contained women in them, such as the woman with the lost coin in chapter 15, or the persistent widow in chapter 18. So the gospel writer Luke emphasizes the point that the woman's role in the kingdom of God is equal to its other participants. Women's roles vary in the ministry of God's, but they are no means inferior. For all believers are one in Christ. Today's focus is based on Luke's account about a sinful woman forgiven in chapter 7. There's nothing in the scripture that deems that this woman is a person with great character. However, what made her stand out was the great God and Savior that she worshipped. So I want to begin reading this account. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. "Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, 'This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is and who is touching him, for she is a sinner.' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'Simon, I have something to say to you.' So he said, 'Teacher, say it.' There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more?' Simon answered and said, 'I suppose the one whom he forgave more.' And he said to him, 'You have rightly judged.' Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, 'Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little.' Then he said to her, 'Your sins are forgiven.' And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, 'Who is this who even forgives sins?' Then he said to the woman, 'Your faith has saved you. Go in peace.'" I want to speak about three points of application today. First, we are all great sinners in the eyes of God. And second, she demonstrated her gratitude towards the Lord through action. And third, by way of our text, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." First, we are all great sinners in the eyes of God. So this account begins with this self-righteous Pharisee named Simon. And he invites Jesus to his house for a feast. The reason being was that the news of a great prophet has risen among the people. And God has visited his people. This report about Jesus went throughout Judea and all the surrounding region. So Simon's, the Pharisee's invitation to Jesus, as we will see, was not really to honor him, but watch him up close. I'm sure you have all heard the phrase, keep your friends close, but your enemies closer. Well, Simon, the Pharisee, in a strategic way, maybe wanted to catch Jesus in some unlawful act, or somehow discredit this claim about him being some great prophet. Regardless, Jesus accepted the invitation, and as he was sitting down getting ready to eat, a woman identified as a sinner somehow got into the Pharisee's house. She was carrying an alabaster flask with a fragrant oil. Scripture doesn't state how she got into the house, nor does it state what kind of sinner this woman was. It is perceived that this woman was a prostitute or an adulteress. This is what tradition speculates. Needless to say, it's important to the story because of how she perceived Jesus. Scripture doesn't provide a backstory. But somewhere along the line, she must have encountered Jesus before this account in some way, shape, or form. Because Jesus, up until this point in his ministry, Scripture states that he had cured many people of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. This woman had to have been amongst them to witness this. So she enters the house and saw Jesus and immediately starts weeping and begins washing his feet with her tears. She continually kissed his feet. She anointed his feet with fragrant oil. Meanwhile, Simon the Pharisee, he's watching this take place in his house. And he was scandalized. He was deeply offended in a moral sense because this was a known sinner. And he thought to himself, if Jesus, if he was truly a prophet, he would have known about this woman and not let her touch him. See, friends, Pharisees isolated themselves from people who were deemed unclean. They maintained their distance from these people to avoid being ritually unclean. The very meaning of the word Pharisee means separated one. They believed that righteous people such as themselves should avoid sinners at all cost. And they would often criticize Jesus for eating with the sinners, the tax collectors. Well, the attitude was of Jesus, he said that he did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Friends, the point is that we are all great sinners in the eyes of God. This is the one commonality that Simon the Pharisee had with this sinful woman. See, one social standard in the world doesn't make one accepted in the eyes of God. Regardless if you are president of the United States or just a janitor cleaning toilets, you are in the same boat. You are great sinners in the eyes of God. The prophet Daniel said, O Lord, to us belong the shame of face, to our kings, to our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants and the prophets. I also included another scripture text. It's not in your bulletin. I kind of included it last minute because it's the Apostle John's vision found in Revelation 20, depicting God's final judgment reserved for unbelievers. This is known as the Great White Throne Judgment. Revelation 20, verses 11 and part of 12 read, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open." The dead, small and great, were unbelievers. Small and great depict their social status. Small meaning peasant. Great meaning they were like a king. And they're all standing together in the same place before God's final judgment, getting ready to be cast into the lake of fire. We're all great sinners. The Pharisee didn't regard himself as a great sinner. The reason why was that Pharisees, just like many works-based religious people today, have placed their trust in their own righteousness. It's like their behavior became their savior. That's a good rhyme. Remember that. Their behavior became their savior. They, like many, believe that their outward behavior cancels out their sin debt. But Jesus knew their hearts. For example, Jesus described the attitude of a Pharisee in one of his parables. He said, "Well, one Pharisee prayed out loud to be heard by others, thanking God that he was not like other men." The Pharisee fasted twice a week, gives tithes. The point is, regardless of these works, the Pharisee was just like every other person, a sinner in need of a Savior. Romans 3:10, "There is none righteous, no, not one." Job 14:4 reads, "Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing? No one." Now, unlike this Pharisee, this sinful woman was deeply conscious of her sins before God. She clearly understood that she needed to be pardoned for them. She needed God's mercy, his forgiveness. She understood that there was no righteous act that she could do to replace her past sins. The Pharisee, on the other hand, probably thought that his sin account was cleared because of his works. Friends, no matter how good you may think you are or compare yourselves to others, in the eyes of God, we are all great sinners, and that is nothing to take pride in. It should cause us to fall at the feet of holy God, begging for mercy. Jesus divinely knew what the Pharisee was thinking, and he answered him by telling a brief parable about two debtors. One owed the creditor 500 denarii, the other 50 denarii. Denarii was considered a day's wage back then. And 500 denarii was a year and a half of work. Regardless, neither debtor could repay the creditor. So the creditor freely forgave them both of their debts. Does this sound familiar to you? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now Jesus asked the Pharisee as he looked at the woman, which of them loved the creditor more? And Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And Jesus said to him, "You have rightly judged." This leads me into my next point of application. She demonstrated her gratitude towards the Lord through action. Just a point, just to start out this point with some contrast, the Pharisee didn't treat Jesus like he would any other invited guest. You know, Jesus was not even given one of the most common courtesies at the time, which would have been a warm greeting or provide water for his feet. This was not the way to treat someone, especially someone of great stature. After all the news about Jesus being this great prophet from God, the Pharisee's actions demonstrate two things. First, he failed to see Jesus for who he really is. He regarded Jesus as only a teacher. And second, he failed to realize his great need for forgiveness and peace with God. He already thought he had salvation through his own human achievements. Never mind a divine achievement. His own human achievements earned it for him. Yeah, right. Simon's little love towards Jesus demonstrated his little need for forgiveness. On the other hand, this sinful woman didn't come to the feast, the party. She wasn't there for the free food. She came to worship her Lord and bring honor and praise to him. She was a new creation. This was a woman of faith. She was already transformed from the inside out. Her old ways have already passed away. And now she's living for Christ. The goodness of God led her to repentance. Regardless of what the outside world thought about her, she was no longer under past condemnation. Even though this uninvited sinful woman was in the presence of these elite people, this did not stop her from praising her Lord. She forgot who she was at once. She is now a child of God. And her surroundings didn't matter to her. And this is a nice sidebar application for all of us. Because how many times have you hidden your faith when certain people are around? How many times have you hid reading the Bible or lowered that sermon message that you were listening to because some certain person walked in the room? This sinful woman was in the house of a Pharisee, and all she could focus on was Christ. She wasn't worried about offending others. She wasn't worried about what others thought about her. Scripture records that she brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. This was probably the most expensive thing that she owned. But this woman understood that she needed great forgiveness. And when she received it, it generated such love for the Lord. And it resulted in praise, honor, and glory. So she began weeping before Jesus. She began washing his feet with her tears. She let her hair down, which is in that culture considered shameful. It's a highly intimate thing to do in public. It was a cultural taboo regarding public conduct for women. But she began wiping Jesus' feet with her hair. And she wouldn't stop kissing them. Then she started anointing Jesus' feet with fragrant oil. Again, most likely her most lavish possession. Not only was this scene bothersome and offensive for the Pharisee, but now his whole house had this smell of fragrant oil in it. Nothing was preventing this woman from worshiping our Lord. Not her past, not any fear of public condemnation, fear of social consequences. This may have been her only chance to honor the Lord, and she did it regardless of the circumstances. What great love she had for Jesus. Friends, how often do you publicly praise Jesus? Yes, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 reads, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as in the manner of some." So the church is a great stop for your public worship. But of course, it's easier to praise and honor and give glory with like-minded people such as ourselves. Now, one day, coming home from a bus trip with Pastor James, after evangelizing in Providence, we met this older lady, and Pastor James and her, and I believe B2, were singing praises on the bus in front of everybody. And I, to my own shame, I felt a hard time joining in. You know, it's just wrong, because that's where the glory of God is showcased for the world to see, regardless of your attributes. How will they know if they're without a preacher, right? Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." This sinful woman praised Jesus in front of people sitting in the Pharisee's house, more of the mindset of the Pharisee. That's boldness and faith. She was grateful for her Savior, and she wasn't afraid to express it. Friends, gratitude should be full of action, because gratitude has no boundaries, and nor should it when praising Jesus. The third point is, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Most people think that it was this sinful woman's actions that led her to salvation, but that's far from the truth. In verse 47, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisee. Jesus said, "Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." Jesus acknowledged that her sins were already forgiven. This scene was her great love for the Lord that brought her there. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. The book of James exhorts one to examine themselves with a contrite heart before the eyes of God. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Remember, not everyone who was physically healed by Jesus was forgiven for their sins. Some of the people got what they wanted from Jesus and never returned to show gratitude towards Him. For example, 9 out of the 10 lepers in chapter 17 of Luke. But this woman poured out her love for Jesus, and Jesus reminds her in verse 50, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." He didn't say your faith plus works, but only your faith. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in Him." So we can't even boast about our faith, which is a gift given from God and not of ourselves. You know, the one thing that we as believers should boast in is God's forgiving love. You know, this is our only hope. This is why we boast about His Son, Jesus. Because God so loved the world that he sent His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We can go in peace because of Jesus. This sinful woman left in peace because of Jesus. And we on this side of the cross can go in peace because of the risen Christ is our reality. "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I have also preached to you, which you also received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered you first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So friend, today you have heard the gospel message, the good news about receiving God's forgiveness for your sins. Like this sinful woman, if you are ready to receive the free gift of eternal life, open your heart. Humble yourself in the eyes of the Lord. Repent, turn to God through Jesus Christ in faith. Place your trust in his finished work for your soul. As you would trust a parachute when jumping out of the plane, same thing. Place that same trust in Jesus. Draw near to him and he will draw near to you. By his grace, he'll forgive you your sins and remember them no more. You are a child of God when you are his. So take heed to yourselves and be like this unnamed woman bearing good fruit and glorifying God regardless of circumstances. Let's pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you for this account in your word. For we understand that our sins require a cost so great that none of us could ever repay. That's why we are so grateful. That's why we are so thankful for your son Jesus and what he did for us on that cross as he freely paid for our sins with his spotless shed blood. Father, we see that love has no boundaries. For you demonstrated that through Jesus. And also through this account with this unnamed woman. Father God, we ask through the Spirit, we ask you to help us be so bold as we are grateful for the forgiveness that you have given us. Lead us to bear fruits that are praiseworthy, that others may see and draw closer to you because of your great love for each and every one of us. So we lift you up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.